Hello, everyone. I'm Dominic from the History of Egypt podcast.
And I'm Scott from the Ancient World podcast. Starting this very month, both of our podcasts are embarking on a brand new series of episodes covering some very ancient events.
On the History of Egypt, we have just finished a monumental event, the discovery and excavation of King Tutankhamun's tomb. Now, the History of Egypt moves into a new era. The age of empires, the pharaoh Ramesses the Great, and his wars with the Hittites.
Meanwhile, I'll be continuing my The Ancient World Carchemish series on the birth, life, and death of the Neo-Hittite kingdoms. I'll carry things forward from the Bronze Age collapse into the early Iron Age, and talk about the Neo-Hittites, the Aramaeans, the Phoenicians, the Philistines, and the Israelites. We'll even have a few surprise visits from our old friends, the Assyrians and the Egyptians.
So be sure to subscribe to the Ancient World podcast to learn about the peoples of the Iron Age in the Near East.
And subscribe to the History of Egypt podcast to hear the story of the last great pharaohs of 18th Dynasty Egypt. And prepare the way for the coming of Seti I and Ramesses the Great.
Thank you for listening to our respective shows. May the storm god of Hatti and the mighty Amun-Ra, the sun disk who shines on all foreign lands, bless your podcast library. Hello folks, Dominic here. A couple of things before we start. At the end of last episode, I promised to check in with the general Horemheb to see what he was up to in the reign of Ai. When editing this episode, though, I decided to postpone that discussion. Otherwise, this chapter was too big, with too much story. Not to worry, the Horemheb section will follow soon. For now, it is better to focus on a couple of topics and avoid overload. Also, this episode has a disclaimer. The chronology of these events, when they happened, how they line up with other records, is still a matter of debate. For some historians, this tale took place in the last months of Tutankhamun and the early years of King Ai. For other scholars, they happened earlier, perhaps the reign of Akhenaten. That is a problem. Historical narratives crumble under the weight of fragmentary evidence, uncertainty, and discussion. There are heroes on both sides. Confusion is everywhere. Please bear in mind, this chapter is a rough reconstruction at best. Future discoveries and scholarship could radically alter our information. So take this story, especially the dates, with a grain of sand. With that in mind, let's begin. Hebu Neferu, happy holidays. Welcome back to the History of Egypt podcast, episode 157, The Road to Kadesh. Today, we pick up where we left off a few episodes back, with conflicts and struggles in the north. The king of Hatti, Supaluliuma, was on the warpath. The Hittite armies were sweeping across Syria and northern Iraq. They defeated empires, plundered cities, and humbled small kingdoms. Along the way, the Hittites came into conflict with Egypt. What would happen when Hatti faced the pharaohs? This episode comes to you on behalf of Pat, who kindly joined the Patreon for an entire year. Also, Matthew N., who gave a generous donation. Pat, Matthew, I am in your debt. May the greatest of gods, in Egypt and Hatti, bring rain to your gardens, prosperity to your household, and good health to your family. Many thanks. Finally, a quick shout out to Daniel, a long-time listener who is recovering from the plague. Well, recovering from COVID. Daniel, I hope Jehuti, or Thoth, hastens your return to health and to happiness. To everyone listening, thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoy the story. The year was 1334 BCE, approximately. In Egypt, a new king had taken power. Ai, or Aya, ruled the two lands. But his empire was in danger. To the north, the mighty kingdom of Hatti was expanding, and its ruler, Supaluliuma, was furious. You see, recent events had caused problems for Egypt and Hatti's relationship. Supaluliuma, the great king, had got involved with the Egyptian court, and he had sent a son, a prince, to marry Egypt's queen. Alas, the son had died while under Egyptian protection. Of course, this was a terrible accident, but it had sparked conflict between Hatti and Egypt. The two powers were skirmishing, attacking each other's vassals and servants in the distant lands of Syria. Officially, this fighting began when the prince, the son of Supaluliuma, died. But, looking at the big picture, this conflict has deeper roots. For years, Hittite warriors had marched across Syria and northern Iraq. Their campaigns had destroyed an empire, humbled major cities, and plundered the land. Following their lord, Supaluliuma, Hittite warriors had achieved significant victories. Those conflicts were far away from Egypt, geographically, but they still affected politics in the Nile Valley. For decades, the pharaohs had maintained relationships with those northern kingdoms. Many of those cities were servants of the pharaoh. Now, Hittite aggression was breaking ties and agreements, and disrupting the balance of power. As a result, Egypt had to adjust. And from a certain perspective, this current crisis was just another phase in a long, tumultuous period. So the new pharaoh, King Ai, had inherited a delicate situation. At best, he would have to calm things diplomatically. At worst, the Egyptians would need to march. What did he do? Well, apparently Ai started by writing letters. The Hittite records say that following the death of his son, Supaluliuma received messages from Egypt. Unfortunately, those letters do not survive, but we do have part of Supaluliuma's reply. The king of Hatti drafted a message for the pharaoh, and part of that message survives. The text is damaged, but the surviving scraps refer to my son, whom the Egyptians had killed, quote-unquote. It sounds like Supaluliuma was writing a letter about his son, the one that had gone to Egypt to marry the queen, the one that Supaluliuma had sent in good faith, the one who died of causes unknown. Supaluliuma touches on letters that, quote, you, the king of Egypt, continually write to me, and he dismisses the pharaoh's protests that the death was not their fault. Supaluliuma's letter seems to be an angry tirade in the midst of the crisis. I hope he did not actually send this message. You should always sleep on an angry text. Anyway, as I said, the letter is damaged and we only have little bits of what the king was writing. But the gist seems to be clear. Egypt's new pharaoh, perhaps King Ai, had written messages to the Hittites, trying to calm the situation. We don't know what the pharaoh had said exactly, but apparently he denied responsibility for the prince's death. That's fair. The Hittite prince could have died of a disease or something like that, so the pharaoh could have insisted on his innocence. Perhaps he was conciliatory, saying something like, we are sorry for your loss. Our thoughts and prayers are with you in these difficult times. Or perhaps he was defiant, asserting his innocence and projecting strength to force a resolution. We can't be sure, but either way, it seems the pharaoh's messages failed to solve the crisis. From the tiny fragments of this letter, Supaluliuma clearly rejected the pharaoh's communications. Moving forward, the Hittites would continue their attacks, and the conflict would grow. So the Hittites were not playing ball. The Egyptians would have to respond. As pharaoh, King Ai would need to manage the catastrophe. The death of the Hittite prince had sparked a major conflict. The problem of Hittite-Egyptian relations had deeper roots, But this was a crisis, and the pharaoh and his soldiers were going to need to manage it aggressively. At this point, we need to rewind slightly. Maybe a few months, maybe a couple of years. The date is uncertain. The point is, the Hittites were not the only ones waging war in Syria. At some point, the Egyptians led a campaign of their own, and we have references to this event. The Egyptian attack is significant in the wider conflict. So, to explain it, let's travel slightly back in time. A few months, or a couple of years earlier, the Egyptians had made their own moves in the north. At some point, the pharaohs gathered an army and went on the offensive. Moving north, Egyptian warriors attacked wayward territories. Their target was a place called Kadesh. Kadesh, or Kidsha, was an important town. It occupied a strategic point on a major river, and it served as a hub for trade and transport in the region. Today, the ruins of Kadesh survive, partially, near the border between Syria and Lebanon. You can see a map on the podcast website, but if you imagine a town on a river far to the north of Egypt, you have the basic idea. Kadesh was a prosperous town, or a small kingdom. Its rulers exercised influence over their neighborhood, and they had allies in the area. Kadesh was not always friendly to Egypt. In fact, they had fought against the pharaohs in the past. Back in the days of King Thutmose III, episode 67, the lords of Kadesh had organized a rebellion against Egyptian power. That rebellion culminated in the famous Battle of Megiddo, when Thutmose III and his armies crushed opposition and humbled the locals. As part of this rebellion, the Kadeshi, or Kadeshians, had lost, and they and many others came under Egyptian authority. So, long story short, the kingdom of Kadesh was strong enough to fight against major empires, but they were not strong enough to beat them. Following Thutmose's victory at Megiddo, the Kadeshi served Egypt. They paid tribute, hosted diplomats, and, theoretically, followed the orders of Pharaoh. So the city and its rulers were quiet, and, for a time, things were good. But then the Hittites appeared. In the days of Akhenaten, Tutankhamun, and Ai, the lords of Kadesh went rogue. The problem started when Subbaluliuma, king of Hatti, invaded the general region. His armies plundered cities, defeated rivals, and overthrew empires. During this upheaval, the people of Kadesh suffered. At one point, Subbaluliuma sent warriors against Kadesh. The Hittites were victorious. They defeated Kadeshi troops, and they even captured the royal family. Subbaluliuma took the entire ruling family and the nobles of Kadesh as hostages. He led them away to Hatti and kept them in captivity. Why did he do that? Unclear. Perhaps Subbaluliuma was concerned at the strength of Kadesh, not to mention its great distance from Hatti. The city of Kadesh is quite far away from the Hittite capital, and left to their own devices, the Kadeshi could easily rebel, or even seek Egyptian help. But if Subbaluliuma kept the lords of Kadesh in Hatti, at least for a while, maybe he could persuade them of the value in submission. I'm speculating there, but you get the idea. By taking the rulers of Kadesh into captivity, Subbaluliuma minimized their power and their ability to resist. It also gave him a chance to convince them into joining his side. This strategy worked. Sometime after his victory, Subbaluliuma freed the lords of Kadesh. The nobles went home to their city, and soon they were acting in Hatti's name. This part of the story is complicated, lots of fragmentary letters and texts discussing various events. But keeping it short, the lords of Kadesh started to expand their territory, and they did so with Hittite support. Before too long, Kadeshi warriors, aided by the Hittites, attacked their neighbors and caused problems in the region. In other words, the king of Hatti had attacked Kadesh, he had defeated them in battle, and he had turned their rulers to his service. Now, the Kadeshi were acting on behalf of the Hittites, instead of the Egyptians. They were another pawn in the greater game. Of course, the Egyptians would not take this defection lying down. And this is where our story begins. At some point in the late 1300s BCE, Egyptian warriors attacked the city of Kadesh. A couple of records in scattered places give us a hint of their deeds. Again, the chronology here is uncertain and the evidence is fragmentary. But if we put some things together, we might have a vague idea of how Egypt acted. First, an Egyptian army went north. They left the Nile Valley and sailed to Canaan. Arriving on the coast, the army marched inland, heading for Kadesh. This force was strong. It had infantry, or foot soldiers, and cavalry, chariots. So it was well equipped and ready for battle. The Egyptian force went to Kadesh, and soon they launched an attack. We hear about this from the Hittite records. A couple of texts documenting the reign of Subaluliuma tell us of violence in the land of Kadesh. As usual, the text is damaged and some details are missing, but we get the gist. Quote, "To the country of Kinza, or Kadesh, which Subaluliuma had conquered, the troops and chariots of Egypt came. They attacked the country of Kinza, and word was brought to Subaluliuma." End quote. So the Egyptian army launched an offensive. It was a strong army with infantry and chariots, and they attacked the country of Kadesh, or Kinza. A couple of details are missing. We do not know how big this army was. We do not know who was leading it. And we do not know the outcome of the battle. The Hittites say that the Egyptians attacked Kadesh, and the Kadeshi sent a message to Subaluliuma. Beyond that, nothing. How frustrating. From this lack of information, some historians assume that the Egyptian attack failed. Otherwise, the Hittites would have mentioned it, right? If the Egyptians had conquered Kadesh, reclaiming it from Hittite control, the annals would note such an outcome, surely. Well, I wouldn't be so sure. We don't know what the Egyptians were trying to achieve. Their goals for this attack are unclear. It's quite easy to analyze ancient politics from the perspective of modern politics. So the idea of conquering a territory might seem the most obvious goal of an attack. But we shouldn't assume that. It is possible the attack was more of a raid, or even a show of force. Perhaps the Egyptians did not necessarily want to capture the city. Perhaps they wanted tribute or payment from the rulers. Or they could have sought an oath, a display of loyalty and apology from the lords of Kadesh. The point is, conquest or destruction are not the only goals in a war. If the Egyptian army came to Kadesh seeking tribute and peace, that would be a success. In another part of the Hittite text, there is a vague reference to Kadesh. And this time, it sounds bad. Quote, "And the town of Kinza, Kadesh, had been burned down, and the lords came to Subaluliuma, and they stayed with him." End quote. That text is really fragmentary, lots of gaps. But the gist seems to be that, at some point, Kadesh suffered a disastrous attack. We are missing the context, and it is possible it describes a different event. But it could also give us a hint at Egypt's attack. Perhaps the Egyptian army did not attempt to conquer Kadesh. Instead, perhaps they just burned it. The Egyptian army went forth, and we hear about it from the Hittite records. We also have some evidence from Egypt, records that might describe those events. In the last episode, I mentioned a temple, established by Tutankhamun and continued by Ai. This temple, the estate or temple of Tutankhamun, bears imagery relating to wars in the north. and one scene from this temple is noteworthy. Several blocks recovered from the temple show the Egyptian army in battle. Infantry and chariots march forward, and the king leads them personally. The army is in full array, ranks upon ranks of warriors. And they surge forward against a city. In the left of this scene, a walled town stands against the Egyptians. The town itself is generic. You'll find identical images in many battle reliefs. But it captures the basics. High walls, towers, fortifications, arrow slits, and people inside. We see the locals leaning over the walls, begging the Egyptians for mercy. One chap even falls off the wall to his death. And on the ground, warriors lie defeated, while an Egyptian soldier lays waste with his club. It is a classic battle scene. We will encounter this many times in the coming years. But the point is clear. King Tutankhamun's temple had an image of the pharaoh and his army attacking a walled town. Broadly speaking, this image is generic, kind of royal propaganda. But certain details are specific. The walled town is clearly Canaanite or Syrian, because it matches other versions that show those places. Also, the enemy warriors and people are dressed in Canaanite or Syrian dress. So it is possible that the artists were using a real event as their inspiration. Even if we lack specific details, this scene may commemorate a campaign, or several campaigns, undertaken in the north. Perhaps one of these was Egypt's attack on Kadesh. We can't prove that on current evidence, but when you combine this image with the Hittite reference to an Egyptian attack, it is possible we are seeing the same event from two different perspectives. Once again, we have to be cautious. All of these events are uncertain in their chronology. We could be talking about multiple events taking place over months or years, or we could be talking about one single campaign in a very short space of time. On current evidence, it's hard to make a call one way or the other. But maybe these things do line up. Perhaps in the days of Tutankhamun, or even Ai, the Egyptian army went north and attacked the city of Kadesh. Again, scholars are divided on that issue. But in the big picture, we get the idea. As the Hittite armies surged across the north, the Egyptians did respond. At least once, they attacked and possibly burned the city of Kadesh. The Egyptian army went north, and possibly burned Kadesh. This was not the first instance of violence. Conflict had begun years earlier, when King Supaluliumar swept into the north. Nevertheless, a cycle of violence had started. The Egyptians attacked, the Hittites retaliated. The Hittites attacked, the Egyptians responded. This cycle would persist for decades to come, and it would take a while to reach its climax. But it seems that, at least from the days of Tutankhamun, possibly earlier, conflict and violence had begun to spread through Syria. The people and kingdoms of this region were suffering turbulent times. That brings us to the end of this episode. Next time, we will see the other side of the conflict. As the Egyptians raided Kadesh, the king of Hatti prepared new campaigns. Supaluliumar was still on the warpath, and there would be much suffering before his campaigns ended. That is episode 157b. See you soon. The History of Egypt podcast is generously supported by my patrons. I would especially like to thank the priests, Linda, Terry, TJ, Yola, Mykost, Andy and Chelsea, Jason, Kendra, Evan, Kyla, Nidin, and Stephen. These fine folks keep the temples running, they make offerings to the gods, and they ensure that calamity does not fall upon our heads. The gods are fickle at the best of times, but thanks to the priests, the temples do their best. My thanks to you for your generosity, and to everyone who supports the show on Patreon with donations, or just by listening and recommending it to a friend. Thank you so much for your support. If you have enjoyed these tales of Hittites and international conflict, consider checking out the Ancient World podcast by Scott Chesworth. Scott is currently in the midst of the Late Bronze Age collapse, and he is exploring the political and social history of the Neo-Hittite kingdoms and the great Mesopotamian states that arose around this time. His tale begins in roughly this period, with the reign of Supaluliuma, great king of Hatti, and it culminates in some mighty events. So, if you want to dive further into that international story, consider checking out The Ancient World by Scott Chesworth.